I realize that when it's cloudy and overcast and kind of dreary looking, that all of us have a tendency to be a little bit more down. But I'm going to talk to you about something this morning that I hope and I pray will leave you with a smile on your face, a little bit encouraged, but will cause you to think that we should not go through life discouraged, unhappy, depressed, wringing our hands, wondering what's wrong in our world today. Let's start by reading for our text. We begin in Philippians chapter 2, and I want to begin reading in verse 12. Now, we know that Paul was chosen to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and he is writing to Gentile people who have become Christians. They did not come through the lineage of Jacob. They were not Jews by birth. And so Paul will say that they had been grafted in to God's plan and to God's way. Beginning in verse 12, listen as he says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a sad picture. Can you imagine today being without God? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, having made peace. Do we live in a world today of peace? Do we live in a world today of joy? Do we live in a world today where people are happy? Do we live in a world today where, regardless of what our backgrounds may be in race or creed, that we all have pitched our tent at the foot of the cross and we have rejoiced that we have found Jesus the Savior? What a marvelous thought Paul gives to these people. You once were way off. You were undone without hope in the world. But you have found the prize. You have come to know Jesus Christ. When you look at the world today, there is no doubt that the need of man today is not some great political leader. It is not some rich person who will find a great cure for all of our social ills. What man needs is the cross. He needs Jesus, the Christ. I have the privilege on a regular basis to talk to people all across the country and some in foreign lands. The other day, someone made a statement to me that caused me to stop and think, and to realize that he had put in words something that every one of us needs to seriously consider. For he said to me, Don't you think the world today needs to realize that there are only two kinds of religion? Now think about what he said. He said, either we will practice a religion in which we accept the Word of God, the Bible, as the total and final voice of authority, or we will divide into all kinds of isms over how we want to interpret it to suit ourselves. So he said, you see, there are not multitudes of religions that claim to believe in Jesus. There are only two. There are those who will follow him in obedience to the Bible, and those who will make their own creeds and their own doctrines. I believe there is great wisdom in that statement. And when we look at it, there is a pressing question. Is this not exactly what Jesus talked about as he walked the face of the earth? He said concerning those of his day, he said, many of you do err from the truth. You have missed my way. How did they do it? Jesus said, you have taught for doctrine or commandments the doctrines of men. You have called as authority the preachers, the religious leaders, the hierarchy of the religious way. And he said, in doing so, you have forgotten the basic principle. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. John says the words of Jesus recorded in John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. What would it do to our religious world today if people were to wake up and realize that in following the cunningly devised plans of men, the philosophies and the doctrines of men, that we have divided our world and have created the chaos that has permeated not only religion, but every aspect of our society. But then I want to make a second observation. Many people that I talk to who tell me they just want to be Christians, they just want to do what God wants, will turn around and tell me how discouraged they are. They see a ever-declining attendance of worship services everywhere. They see division in the religious world. They see pettiness, all kinds of things that call men away from the simple gospel. And they say, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know where to turn to do what God wants. That's not an unusual feeling for a human being. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 20, one of the greatest prophets of old, in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah had the same feeling. He said, what is this? Everybody goes here and everybody goes here and nobody wants to listen to what God has to say. And we know that God commissioned Jeremiah to speak in his name. But Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, I made a decision. And I said to myself, I will speak no more in the name of the Lord. I'm done. I'm finished. It's useless. It's hopeless. It is of none avail. People just don't care. Wow. Does that sometimes sum up how many people today who say they're Christians feel? Why should I talk to anybody? They don't care. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. I know in my own journey as a Christian, A good many years ago, I came to that same conclusion. I spent a great portion of my life encouraging young men to preach. And then I noticed how many of those young men were mistreated, criticized, belittled by members of the church, and whose lives were made somewhat difficult because they had been encouraged to preach the gospel. And so I decided, I'm done. There's other things I can do in my life. But don't forget the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I shut the door. I tried to shut everything out. But there was something inside, he said, I could not contain. For the word of the Lord was like a fire that was shut up in my bones and could not be contained. I had to speak. I had to speak in the name of the Lord. And one day I came to realize that if I walked away from everything I knew to be true, that I could have no influence for good anymore on the souls of my children, my grandchildren, the people I love the most on this earth. So I came to think, should we not reflect upon what really is the most intense decision that man will ever make? To all of you in this group and those who will watch this by video, I encourage you to start with this question. Do you believe that there is a heaven? And do you want to go? You want to go to heaven? My dad used to say to me, even if I'm the only one who goes, I want to go to heaven. We would argue about that because I would say, Daddy, you can't do that. No man can go alone. We cannot go with no stars in our crowns. So when you answer this question, do you believe there is a heaven? I didn't say do you want to believe it, but do you believe it? Is it so ingrained in your being that the thought of missing heaven is unthinkable? It is something you just can't bear to think that you could miss heaven. If you believe in heaven and you want to go, then you must ask yourself, does God want other people to go? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul said, there was a time when God winked at ignorance, but now he wants all men to repent. He wants everybody to have a right to the earth, to be in the tree of life, to live with him in those palaces not made with hands. He wanted everybody to go. Jesus died to give men the opportunity to make heaven their home. Now I want you to think with me for a minute. In Matthew chapter 7, this one who knew that he had come to earth, that he had come to suffer and to die on an old rugged cross, he had come, as the Hebrew writer says, to do thy will, O Lord, as written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will. He knew that his will demanded he die upon that cross for the sins of a world that was lost in sin. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the way that leadeth unto life is straight and narrow, and few there be who enter in thereat. Jesus died for every man, woman, boy, and girl who has ever lived, is living, or ever shall live before the end of time. But the reality is that most will reject him. Most will turn their backs and walk in their own willful way and will not repent and return to the Savior. So that brings us to the real question. And the answer is simple. What does it matter what I do with what I have found? When you became a Christian, if you're a Christian, did you believe you had found a pearl of great price? Had you found the greatest of all possessions? You had become heirs of eternal life. Then here's what you must decide. You are saved today because there was one who loved you enough to give himself as the propitiation for your sins and for mine. He died that you might be saved. As I told you several weeks ago, a question was asked an elderly man many years ago. What does the cross of Christ mean to you? And as the old man thought, tears began to stream down his cheeks. And so he said, "Let me tell you what the cross means to me. If every man, woman, boy, and girl who has ever lived upon God's earth or is living today or shall ever live until the end of time were a saint and I alone a sinner, there would be a cross. You see, until you come to understand that when Jesus died on that old rugged cross, he died for you because he loved you. He wants you to live with him forevermore. Now, if you have accepted that reality and you have basked in what a blessing it is to know that the Son of God loves me, that he gave himself for me, that he is waiting today for a time when he can say to me, well done, then what is it that God wants from me? Can I sum it up this way? God wants me to understand that when I became a Christian, it was important for me to realize that I had to die on that old rugged cross. I had to die not just to the sins of the past, but I had to die to self and my selfish ways, my own wisdom, my own ingenuity, and get out of God's way. Listen, God did not tell me to count the cost of what it means to be a Christian. He's already told us what the value of the soul is. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What am I to profit if I take the blessings that God has given me through the gift of Jesus on the cross and I become discouraged, I become despondent, I lose my hope, my joy, and my peace? And I stop telling others the marvelous message of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't tell me how many I had to save. He didn't tell me how many I had to bring to the cross. He just said, Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, when you became a Christian, He called you to be His and His alone. To belong to Him in every way, totally, completely, without question. He did not tell me to choose who I tell about Jesus or when or how long. That's not my business. My business is to tell men about a Savior who died on an overhung cross, who died there for me that He might give me hope. And so in reality, it is not about anything that I think or imagine other than I have sold out to be His servant. And so the real question becomes not what will I do and who will I tell about Jesus. The question is more, who won't I tell? What won't I do? Where will I not go? Will I be with Jesus? And will I walk in the highways and the byways? Will I walk among those who are stained with immorality, with drug abuse, with alcoholism, those who are in prisons, those who have lived lives of violence and crime? Or will I take the gift of an Almighty God, the greatest gift ever given, an old rugged cross, and try to pick and choose who has a right to the tree of life? I believe there is peace when we realize that we cannot shut up the greatest story ever told. We must tell it and tell it and tell it again, not knowing who and when the seed will germinate and bring a lost soul to Calvary. Let's stand together and sing.